Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantara Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Go Premanande. Okay. So tonight we'll do our overview of the second section for 2016 of the 10th canto, which is chapters 9 to 16. So, we'll go along, we'll cover the basic points of the section. If you have anything to add, please add it as we go. So what is chapter 9 called? Yes. It's a technical detail. So, Lord Krishna is bound by Mother Yashoda. So what is this pastime called? Damodar Lila. Dam Udara. To me it means to bind the belly. So it is the Lila where Krishna's belly is bound by Mother Yashoda. Now in Vatsalya Ras, this is considered to be the highest of the Lila, the highest pastime. In the conjugal rasa, then the highest pastime is considered to be the rasa lila, which we'll get to next year. That is chapters 29 to 33. But in terms of Damodar lila, Vatsalya Bhav, this is considered to be the highest of the pastimes. So this pastime takes place in the 10th chapter. Sorry, 9th chapter of the 10th canto. So it takes place on the day of Diwali, which is the dark moon in the Kartik mass. So that's not far away. That's about another 3 months from now. Then we'll have the Diwali pastime. So there seems to be contradictions in Krishna's pastimes. That's why Krishna got himself in this predicament in the first place, where his mother wants to bind him. He is the supreme absolute truth. He is the supreme personality of Godhead. And yet, he has a tendency to tell lies. He has a tendency to steal. He has a tendency to, Nilamai, be quiet.
Right. The current is very close to them.
Okay, but still I'm talking, so I can't have another voice. It's distracting. All right, well, get it together. I mean, we don't need half an hour to organize everything in this classroom. Should it be organized already? So, his qualities, such as lying, such as stealing, as we see in this particular pastime, it seems to be a transgression of morality in Krishna's lila, in Krishna's pastimes. And because of that transgression, apparent transgression of morality, this causes the lila to take place. So Krishna is stealing the butter. So Mother Yashoda, we see at the beginning of the chapter, then she is stirring the grinding mortar. So the butter, you see in the traditional system, these days we do everything by machine. But in the traditional system, you did it by hand. So they put the milk and then they begin to churn. And if you churn and churn and churn, then it begins to change. And it thickens and then eventually becomes makhan. And Krishna is known as makhan chaur. So Krishna, he wanted to taste that butter. He wanted to enjoy the lila, so then eventually he goes and steals. But first of all, he approaches his mother and he pulls on her sari. And he says, Dut, Mai. So then she gives her breast milk to Krishna in reciprocation for his love. But then we hear in the pastime that the milk which is on the fire, in the large pan, because it is conscious, it thinks to itself that Krishna is going to take all the milk from Yashoda, so therefore then there's no need for me to exist, so therefore I will jump into the fire. There's no purpose for my life. So then the milk begins to boil over into the fire. So Mother Yashoda sees that because she is making that milk for Krishna. She's going to create milk sweets, sandesh and barfi and different things, para. So she puts Krishna down, she goes to tend to that milk. That milk is very specious milk, very special milk actually. It is said to be milk which is naturally fragrant, like a lotus flower. Mother Yashoda has about 6 cows, which are very special, and she uses that milk only for Krishna, making things for Krishna. So she goes to save that special milk because she wants to use that to offer directly to Krishna. But then Krishna becomes very upset. So then he begins to cause trouble, mischief. So he breaks the pot, the clay pot which he is using to churn the butter. But then he sees that once he has made a mistake, he becomes very fearful. Sometimes out of passion, we do something, but then we realize the moment after it. You see the children do it all the time. Your kids do something, but then the moment after they realize, oh, I just went too far. So they become very apprehensive. So Krishna, he's full of contradictions. So we see that Krishna, he's meant to be the most self-controlled person, and he is the most self-controlled person because he's the Supreme Lord, but he loses control and he breaks the butter pot. He is the most honest person, but he'll tell lies frequently to his mother and to her friends. And then he steals, even though he's supposed to be morally the strongest person. He is morally the strongest person, but he contradicts himself. So Vrindavan Leela, this is Braj Leela, this is the most intimate Leela of the Lord. It is full of contradiction. And because of that contradiction, it creates rasa. It stimulates pleasure in the pastimes. So you'll see that Krishna, he likes to churn the rasa. He likes to churn the pleasure for himself and for his devotees. And therefore, because it's very intimate in Vrindavan, he makes everything contradictory. It makes it more relishable. So this pastime is very relishable for those in Vatsalya Bhava, because Krishna, he breaks the butter pot and then he runs off. And he goes to the inner chambers of the house, to the pantry, large room. And from the ceiling, there's hanging the yogurt. So he gets the grinding mortar, pushes it, makes himself a step, and then he gets up and he begins to break those pots. The dahi is falling. Krishna begins to eat it. He feeds it to his friends, the monkeys. But the whole time he's looking around for Mother Yashoda. Where is she? So Mother Yashoda, gradually she comes. And then Krishna, he sees her coming. So then he begins to run. So Mother Yashoda is trying to catch him. And it says that he is so absorbed in the Leela that he is crying tears. He is feeling fear. So this is someone called Ajita. Ajita means unconquerable. That person who cannot be conquered is being conquered. That person who is feared by fear personified is scared of Mother Yashoda. This is real. By the potency of Krishna's Leela Shakti, it is not imaginary. Krishna is actually feeling all of these things. If he doesn't feel these things, there's no pleasure in the pastime. So Krishna actually feels scared of Mother Yashoda. He's running. The prema of Mother Yashoda is so powerful, it overwhelms Krishna. And to reciprocate with her, he's running in fear. So she grabs him and she says, okay, I'll teach you a lesson. I'll tie you to the grinding mortar. So then Krishna is bound up by Mother Yashoda. So we hear the pastime. She's trying to tie him. But then we hear that through all of her endeavor, still, it is described in the Bhagavatam, her rope is 2 fingers too short. So you know this point, because this point has been told many, many times. But it is integral to the philosophy of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and it is integral to the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. Basically, it's our whole philosophy. Right? Everything exists on these 2 points. And God must give mercy, and we must desire that mercy. And when those 2 points are there, then you become Krishna conscious. If you have no desire, you do not become Krishna conscious. Prabhupada gives the example in Bhagavad Gita of the swallow, the sparrow, who is trying to empty the ocean. So that is your endeavor. You're trying to become Krishna conscious. That is your only credit. We don't have any other credit. Our only credit in Krishna consciousness is our endeavor. Nothing else is worthwhile. Everything else we do, everything we offer to Krishna, the offering itself, that is, to a degree, not consequential. Because Prabhupada explains, in the spiritual world, Krishna is relishing far superior offerings to what we can offer. Just like in a month's time, then we have Janmashtami. Right? So then Janmashtami, you'll see all the devotees cook, even devotees who normally cannot cook. You just chant 16 rounds, that means you're not even Brahman initiate. You can cook on that day for the deity, for Radha Balabha. It's a very special occasion. Devotees take advantage of. So they cook. They offer it to the deity. It gets taken to the deity room. But there's nothing really in the offering, from Krishna's perspective, which is as relishable as what he experiences in the spiritual world. The foodstuff, the bhoga, which is offered to Krishna in the spiritual world, is far superior. The tastes, the flavors, the aromas, the textures, they're far superior to what we experience in this world. The ingredients are far more pure. They're far more satisfying. It says in the spiritual world that Tulsi Devi gives off a fragrance which you cannot smell in this world. So Krishna will not accept any offering unless there is Tulsi on the offering. He doesn't accept the offering. In the spiritual world, Tulsi is not there, he does not accept. But it says in the spiritual world, Tulsi has an aroma which you cannot find in this world. So it is superior. So everything is superior there. So what is the one thing we can offer from this position is only the bhakti. It is only the devotion, the love, the endeavor. That is all that Krishna is looking for. So when Krishna sees that, okay, you have the right attitude, you have the right endeavor, then he reciprocates. So when Mother Yashoda is trying to bind him, and when Krishna is satisfied by her endeavor, then he submits, and Ajita becomes conquered. One who is unconquerable, he becomes conquered. And then she can bind him, and he becomes Dhammodara. Dhammodara means one who is bound by Mother Yashoda. Krishna is also known as Radha Damodar, because sometimes he comes late when he's meant to meet with Srimati Radharani in the forest of Vrindavan. Then he becomes late. So then she says, okay, I will tie you up as your punishment. So she gets garlands and she ties him to one of the trees. And she says, now you just stay there. So he's also known as Damodar in different lilas, but this is Vatsalya Bhav. So Mother Yashoda is tying. So Krishna's Satya Sankalpa Shakti, Vishnu Chakrabarti Thakur mentions. Satya, what does Satya mean? Truth, purity. Sankalpa means
Yeah, desire,
bow, endeavor, like that. Such a sankalpa. When Krishna says something or when Krishna thinks something, it will happen. So then his such a sankalpa shakti allows. Oh, now Krishna can be bound. Otherwise, not possible. How does it get bound? That's why she can't bind him. That's why earlier than this, in this pastime, there is a pastime where she looks into his mouth and everything's in there. So how do you bind up everything? It's not possible. So Krishna allows. So that's the meaning of this pastime. The meaning of this pastime is that Krishna allows himself to be conquered by his devotee. And basically, that's his quality of bhakta vatsalya. So bhakta vatsalya is Krishna's supreme quality. So Krishna's bhakta vatsalya quality is seen here. And that is basically the purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam. That Krishna reciprocates unlimitedly with his devotees. So if you understand this one pastime wholly and purely and properly, you understand the whole Bhagavatam. That's why Prabhupada said, don't study Canto 10 till you study all the other 9 cantos. Because Prabhupada says, by the time you finish studying the first 9, you should be God realized. So this is the whole point now. We're meant to be realizing God through this path of this lila. Does anyone have any points? Anything else? Good. Okay. So chapter 10 is called. Deliverance of the Yamalajunji between Arjuna trees. So, we go to the heavenly planets. In the heavenly planets, you see that the two sons of Kuvera, Manigriva and Nala Kuvara, so they are trying to enjoy separately from Krishna, trying to imitate Krishna's position. That's why they're living in a... Hey, Rohini, just close that door properly. Little Molly will knock on it in a minute. So, yeah, lock it. So, everyone comes to the material world to imitate God, to imitate Krishna. So Nala Kuvara Manigriva, they're absorbed in trying to enjoy separately from Krishna. So then, by good fortune, Narad Muni comes. Narad Muni means the Lord's pure devotee. So when he comes, they've committed a severe aparad. You're naked before the guru, the sannyasi. It's a heavy aparad. The place where they're bathing is the Ganga. The Ganga is the most sacred of rivers. And then they're performing a materialistic activity in the Ganges, in the Ganga. It's a severe aparad. So Nara becomes very angry. When we commit an offense, then the senior devotees become angry to rectify us. So he becomes very angry, he curses them. Okay, become trees. You're acting inappropriately. So then you must suffer the consequence. So they are cursed for their severe aparad. So then they have to take birth as the trees, but because they pray to Narada, please have mercy on us, they rectify their consciousness very quickly. He says, okay, then you'll be born in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj will have one son, and the son will liberate you from birth and death. So then they take birth, but they become the Yamal Arjun trees, two twin trees, and they stand there for thousands of years. They're waiting for Krishna to appear. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that each pastime, each demon represents a particular anatta. So what do they represent? What is the defect? Pride, hypocrisy. A few of them are mentioned, hypocrisy. We'll just simplify it. We'll say it's just pride. It's pride in aristocratic birth. Sometimes you have high birth and riches. So if you have a lot of money, and in the commentary, Bhaktisanta Saraswati Thakur says the worst thing is money. Janmaishwaya Shruta Shubhya. So four types of intoxication there. Janma means high birth. Aishwarya means money. Shruta means you're learned. And Shribhi means you're beautiful or handsome. But of the four, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says the wealth is the most intoxicating. You don't have the other three, but if you get too much wealth, you just become bewildered. So that's the situation, you see. So, it is recommended devotees should live moderately. Because sometimes, by karma, you may get a lot of money. It's not my karma to be like that. In my chart, my Jyotish says, I always have enough. I always have enough. I never worry. My whole life, I never worry. You know, I always have food to eat, always have everything I need, it's there. But it doesn't say I will have like lots of wealth. I never have that. I've never had lots of money. But I always have everything, so that's satisfied. But if you do get it, if you get lots of wealth, some people have that karma, then you get lots of wealth, a devotee needs to live moderately. And he gives the excess to Guru and Krishna. Otherwise you become intoxicated, you become bewildered. So a devotee has to be careful. So a devotee, we don't live in poverty, but we live in moderation. So if you have extra, you give that to Guru, you give that to Krishna. And that way you protect yourself from becoming intoxicated or bewildered. So these two boys, they represent pride, and it also represents pride coming from intoxication. That's why it is forbidden for devotees to take intoxication. Four things are forbidden. We don't take intoxication, don't have illicit sex, don't gamble, and don't eat meat. Okay. Because intoxication, it makes you proud. It makes you forgetful. It stupefies you. It makes you ignorant. That's why devotees do not take. Because then you become affected. You become falsely proud. You see drunk people, they become falsely proud. You think you can do anything. So, because he was met by a sadhu, the two boys, their life became auspicious. Because Narad Muni gave them his association and he cursed them, everything became auspicious. So for us, it is also like that. Our lives become auspicious by the contact of pure devotees. And by the pure devotees' association, our lives become auspicious. Because we are also addicted to these things. Pride, intoxication, these things. But by association of an advanced devotee, you lose your attachment to the material things. So, they become reformed. They take birth as the trees. Krishna has been tied up by Mother Yashoda. So then Krishna is a genius. That's one of his 64 qualities. He does many things in one activity. So he thinks, okay, Mother Yashoda has bound me up. Now I'll do something more naughty. She thought I was naughty before. Now watch this. So she gets the... he gets the grinding mortar. He drags it. Starts crawling across the ground. So he's very small. He's still crawling. He's just running. He's like a toddler. And he pulls this very heavy grinding mortar out, locks it between the two trees and smashes the trees down. Right? And then everyone in Braj hears the noise. If you hear the big tree come down, I've heard it down at the farm. Sometimes when the big trees they fall, it's like the whole earth shakes. So everyone became stunned by the power of the two trees coming down. But the only people who saw it was Krishna's friends, the other boys. So they saw the demigods manifest. The golden figures, they came out of the trees, they offered prayers, they'd been reformed. So if Guru or Vaishnava Sini devotees, if they chastise us, it is to reform us. It is to make us humble and pure, purified. So therefore they were chastised by Krishna, by Narad Muni, and then they rectified themselves. So they came out and they offered prayers. So the remainder of the chapter is the prayers from Manigriva and Nalakovara, and they beg forgiveness from Krishna. Please forgive us for our offense. Any points? Okay. So then what is chapter 11? The childhood pastimes of Krishna. So then we hear that the Brijvasis, they begin to worship Lord Narayan to protect Krishna. Because he keeps getting... They're living in Gokul. Gokul is on the other side of the river from Mathura, from Vrindavan. It's on the other side. So in Mahavan. So they're offering prayers. They're worshipping the brahmanas and having mantras chanted and using the cow stool and urine and dust to protect Krishna. And then they decided, better we move. Too many things are taking place. We'll cross the river. So we hear the description, how they all cross the river. And then they go across towards Nandagram. First they actually stay for a period of time at Chatika. Chatika means they put the all the chariots in a half circle. And they set up a camp for a period of time. Place where they set up camp. You know when you go from Delhi to Mathura? You know, you turn off to Vrindavan. It says Vrindavan 6 kilometers. So that area. On that corner before you do that turn off to Vrindavan. That's Chatika. So they live there for a period of time. Then they moved across to Nandagram, which is further across. So... because Krishna was tied up by Vatsalya, he could only be released by Vatsalya. So although all his friends were there after the trees came down, Nanda Maharaj had to untie him because he also had Vatsalya Bhav. So he untied Krishna. And then Krishna, he is showing his pastimes as a young boy in the Kaumara age. So he's like probably about 3 years old at this point. So then we hear about the fruit vendor comes and offers fruit to Krishna. And Krishna in exchange, he will bring things to offer to the fruit vendor. But then when she looks in her basket, after she gives the fruits to Krishna and Krishna goes off, there's a reciprocation, an exchange. But then you see that her basket is full of jewels. So it's a very simple philosophical point. You just give something to Krishna, Krishna gives you unlimited reciprocation. Far more than what we can give to him. We'll see this later on in the 10th canto, the famous pastime when Sudama Vipra gives the chipped rice. And just from that, Krishna reciprocates unlimitedly. So we see that Krishna is very young, and we see natural pastimes taking place as they move across from Gokul to Chatika, and as Krishna begins to grow and he has many natural childhood pastimes. It describes what it's like in Vrindavan and how he plays with his friends in the forest and how they run into the forest and they all play like monkeys and peacocks and they yell and they come to wells and they shout into the wells and their echo comes back. So they're just playing. It's all very natural. Krishna's enjoying Sakya Ras at a very young age with all of his friends. So, at this point in time, one demon appears. His name is Vatsasura. Vatsasura means a calf. So Krishna sees there's a calf. But he's different to the other calves. What's the nature of the calves? How do the calves look at you? The calves, when they look at you, they have doe eyes. Eyes like a doe, a little deer. Very sweet eyes. So calves are like that. Just like at our farm, in the next, say, 3-4 months, 3 more calves will come. 3 of the cows are pregnant. So more babies will come. So they're very sweet when they're young. So this particular calf, he has a very harsh look in his eye. He's not like the others. So Krishna notices straight away. And he says to Balaram, he said, who's this? He wasn't here yesterday. And Balaram said, looks like a demon. And Krishna says, okay, let's sneak up on him. So he sneaks up behind. Now what does he represent, this Vatsasura? Which, what was the anatta? When you have like a childish mentality, even though you're grown up and you are not a child anymore, but still you have the mentality, I can do whatever I want and I can just enjoy myself whenever I want. This is a abhiman. Abhiman means a false conception. Sometimes we have this false conception, I can just do whatever I want and no one can stop me. Just like kids, they think like that. I can do whatever I want and you can't do anything. And even as an adult, sometimes you think like that. I can just do whatever I want. So this is an anatta we have to get rid of. If you want to attain Krishna, you have to get rid of this consciousness. I can just do whatever I want and I can enjoy separately from Krishna. So Vatsasura represents this. So Krishna went down in between all the calves and then grabbed him by the back legs and then killed the demon. So then straight after that, there's another demon. Prabhupada says Krishna kills 3 or 4 before lunchtime every day. So then who's the next one? Baka. Baka means? Crane. Yeah, like a crane, like a duck, crane, something like that. In between Vrindavan and Barshana, you know, when you drive out, you go right, like you go back up towards Kochi, drive back up towards Delhi, and then you get up near Kochi, and then it says Nandagram Varshana off to the left, 17 kilometers. You start driving in between, so you're driving, you're kind of driving out through the fields, and you go to one place and you'll see there's cranes just on the right in the pond, like in the lake. So that's the place where Bakasura was killed. You see there, like the big cranes. So he's a big crane. So what does he represent?
And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, cunning duplicity.
You cannot be duplicit with Krishna. There's an anatta, abhiman, we have to get rid of. We are duplicit. Duplicit means when we come to the temple, we act like one thing, but when we're at home, we act like another thing. At the temple, you're very nice, but when you go home, then you are different. At the temple, you carry the Bhagavad Gita around. Then you go home and you put on the TV. The duplicity. Means I act like one thing, I put on my dhoti, my kota, I come to the temple, I look very paka. But when I go home, then I do all sorts of nonsense. The duplicity is bakasura. So Krishna bifurcates. Right? Krishna grabs him and he goes, rips him apart. Like, ah. When Krishna kills the demons, very graphic. We'll hear in next year about Arishtasura, and Krishna kills him. It's horrible the way Krishna kills him. Keshi, Agha, the way Krishna kills him. If you meditate on it, it's very heavy. But Krishna purifies him. Kaliya. Kaliya was vomiting blood. Have you ever vomited blood? Kaliya was vomiting blood. Krishna was pounding him. So Krishna, Prabhupada points out, I said this last night, that to purify the devotee, so the devotee can leave this material world and give up all attachment to this material world, Krishna puts the devotee through hellish suffering. Prabhupada says this. Each one of us has to go through hellish suffering to give up all our attachment to this material world. This will happen in our life, guaranteed. You'll go through hellish suffering. The body will give you so much trouble, so many problems. This will come. No. Just have a baby. That's enough. And when you have the baby, you vow, I will never do this again. Then you have another one. So that is the material world. You have to go through this suffering in order to purify. So Krishna, the reason Krishna killed the demons so violently is because he's purifying them. Because then they have to submit to him and fully. He takes everything away from them. So he treats Bakasura very powerfully. And then the boys, they continue on after he kills Bakasura. And they see him kill this big demon, but then straight afterwards they just kind of think, well, that was amazing. But then they just get completely absorbed again, straight back into the Leela. And they forget his position of being so powerful. Even after they see him kill a demon, but then they just go and play with him. And they jump on his back and they wrestle him and they say, I can beat you. How could they beat him? He just killed a 300-foot bird. But then they challenge him and they just absorb themselves in Leela. Any points?
Why Lord Krishna took the permission of his Yes, Balaram. One took the plow, one took body. That's all. Not going to school and learning all kinds of purposes. Some terminal is broken, not going in wasting time. That is important. Also, the words of Garga Muni are qualified. Traditions of Garga. They all remember that. And Gopal also writes that the coward men headed by Nanda Maharaj enjoyed the topics of pastimes of Lord Krishna and used to constantly discuss that. So despite all these distresses, the constant discussion of pastimes means they were above all that distress. So Gopal then brings in the concept of studying Srimad Bhagavatam so that one can transcend one's material distress. And then Gopal again introduces the mood and vision of his work.
Good. Okay.
See, I was wondering, and the Garga Muni, the meeting was a very secret one. Nobody knew about it. So how did the resident there knew?
Because Nanda Maharaj told everyone. Secret means in the family there are no secrets.
But all the people in the room.
Yeah, because the whole village is a family, so. So what is the next chapter? Killing of the demon? Agasura. Who is Agasura? Big? Python. Snake. So this pastime, it takes place on? Baladeva Purnima. Because Lord Balaram is not there during this pastime. So Krishna goes out with the cowherd boys and Balaram stays at home. Then on the way out, Krishna is playing with all of his boys and they're enjoying unlimitedly in the forest. So much so that it describes that in the morning when Krishna leaves, his mother, Yashoda, she says, just stay here and we will cook for you all day and you can play here in Nandagram or Chatika or wherever they're living. But then Krishna says, no, we have more fun in the forest. And Madhumangala, the Krishna's funny Brahmana friend, he says, we don't give a fig about your Nandagram. He said, the real pleasure is out there in the forest of Braj. So we want to just go out there and play. So the boys are just having unlimited enjoyment out there in the forest. So they come across this huge snake. So the snake is called Agasura. And what does he represent? Anatta, or the consciousness of cruelty. In other words, envy of others. He cannot tolerate that the cowherd boys and Krishna are enjoying. Sometimes we have this consciousness. We don't like to see the other devotees happy. Do you ever feel like that? Actually, we do. We do. No one put their hand up, but if you think about it, we actually do. Even if it's just for a moment. But sometimes you see another devotee is happy and what comes into your mind is, why are they happy? Why are they enjoying? No one put their hand up, but everyone does it. Sometimes we do. Why are they enjoying? Why are they happy? That's an anatta. That's an unwanted consciousness we have to rid ourselves of. Very difficult to get rid of these things. So Agasura represents this, envy. So Krishna sees him, and then the cowherd boys see him. And this is just after Bakasura has been killed. So then, the cowherd boys are fearless. So they think, let's run into the snake's mouth. So they all run in, and then what does Krishna experience? First of all, it says compassion. Krishna's feeling is,
my friends are going to be harmed. So Krishna feels. And then he feels astonishment. What's going to happen? They're inside this huge snake. But then, Yogamaya, she withdraws because he allows her to cover him. And then he thinks, oh, it's okay. I am God. I can take care of this. So then he follows the boys in. So he goes in with the boys into Agasura. And he expands himself unlimitedly. And then Agasura, his Atma, the soul, bursts through the top of his head. And then when all the cowherd boys, he just hovers there, this Atma. The Atma is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. So just like a little spark of light. But it was so effulgent, the whole of Vrindavan was effulgent. And the demigods were watching. And they're seeing that this Atma is just hovering in the air. So then when Krishna finally comes out, then the Atma it attains, by Krishna's mercy, it attains Swarupya. So he gets special mercy. Krishna liberates the demons. So he purifies these personalities by his mercy, by his association. So then the next chapter is called?
The Stealing of the Boys and the Cars by Brahma.
The Stealing of the Boys and the Cars by Brahma. So that is the last chapter that Prabhupada comments on. His final purports are in that chapter. It's significant because it's a very important chapter. So, Krishna is in the forest with his friends. And he's sitting in the middle of all the boys. They're having a picnic on the bank of the river, Jamuna. And once again, by Krishna's potency, Achincha Shakti, all the boys, Krishna's in the middle, and all the boys feel like Krishna is looking at them. So there's dozens of boys all around, but they all feel Krishna is just looking at me and he's speaking to me. How is that possible? How is it possible that Krishna is just looking at me? It's called Achincha Shakti, Krishna's unlimited potency. So then, they notice that the calves, they go off, they wander off. So then Krishna, he says to his friends, you just sit down peacefully, I will go and get the calves. So Krishna is showing the mood of seva. That should be our mood. Our mood should be Vaishnava seva. To serve the Vaishnavas. That is Krishna's mood actually. God likes to serve the devotees. So he gets up, he says, everyone, you just keep enjoying your lunch. I'll go and find them. So Krishna goes off into the forest. So as soon as Krishna goes off into the forest, then Brahma comes and steals the boys. So what does this pastime represent in terms of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's analysis of Anattas? Brahma Vimohana Lila. What does it represent? We have to give up the attachment to karma and jnana. Because if you're too much attached to karma, it means rules and rituals in devotional service. Too much attached to jnana, which means knowledge, but just for the sake of itself. And sometimes you see devotees give class and they just like to give a whole lot of knowledge. You know, they quote so many shlokas and they give so many details. And it's just jnana, really. I mean, it's connected to Krishna, but it's really just about they're attached to the jnana, not to the bhakti. So if you're too much attached to jnana or to karma, to rituals, even in deity worship, some devotees are attached to the rituals and doing everything perfectly, but where's the bhakti? That's the point. So if you're too much attached to jnana and karma, you can't understand. That's the point of this pastime, Brahma Vimohan Lila. Also, it represents Aishwarya covering Madhurya. If you want to enter into Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, hands up if you want to enter Krishna's Vrindavan pastime, then you have to give up attachment to Aishwarya. Because Aishwarya is Vaikuntha Bhav. That is Lord Narayan. But if you want to understand Krishna, then you have to understand Madhurya Ras. Madhurya Ras means sweet pastimes. So it means at this point, it's very significant. At this point, you must give up gradually your attachment to Aishwarya and absorb yourself in Krishna's Madhurya Ras, his sweet pastimes in Vrindavan. So here, why does Krishna perform this pastime? Because he wants to show everyone, I'm more powerful than Brahma, I'm more powerful than Shiva. He shows all these things in this canto. So he's showing, who's the highest person in this universe? Brahma. I'm much more powerful than him. Brahma was in Yoga Maya. Brahma did not become bewildered. Krishna bewildered him and made him do it. Because Krishna wanted to show everyone, I am Swayam Bhagavan. So Brahma comes down, Krishna bewilders him. But then Krishna, he reciprocates with all the elderly gopis who are in Vatsalya Ras. Because they want to have Krishna as their child. But only Mother Yashoda can have Krishna as her child. So therefore Krishna wants all of the elderly gopis to have him. So for 1 year, he becomes the children. Right? So all those cowherd boys, Brahma takes a false set. The real set stay there, but the false set are taken. Brahma doesn't realize he took the false set. And the other boys sit there for the whole year on the bank, but no one can see them. And in that way, Krishna bewilders Brahma for one whole year. And he bewilders everyone in the village. Because everyone in the village thinks that all the boys came back. But they're more attached to the boys than they are to their normal children. So they have the opportunity to have Krishna as their child. And all the cows had the opportunity to have Krishna as their calves. And even Balaram was bewildered for 1 year. Only 3 or 4 days before, then Krishna begins to lift the Yoga Maya potency. And then Balaram thinks, oh, wait a minute, something's going on. Even he did not realize for 1 year what took place. So that's Krishna's potency. So this pastime is extremely significant because it shows Krishna's supreme position. So then, what happens to Lord Brahma? He becomes very humble. So it's the same all the way through the Bhagavatam. But the 10th canto shows it very, very carefully. You have to be humble if you want to approach Krishna. If you're proud, if you think I am the most important person in anything in this universe, like Brahma's thinking, then Krishna humiliates him. So until we become humble, we don't understand Krishna. It's a basic principle. So then, Brahma cannot enter the mood of Vrindavan. So the next chapter is called Brahma's prayers. So then he tries to rectify himself. So most of the chapter is Brahma offering prayers, many, many significant prayers, especially the 8th prayer of the chapter. What is that verse? Yeah, a very significant verse. So Prabhupada says practically, it is like a guiding verse for all the devotees. But even though you're being crushed by the material energy, crushed by Krishna, crushed by your previous karma, but in your heart you still bow down and you offer obeisances and you say thank you to Krishna for putting me through so much difficulty, thank you for purifying me of all my karma, and very soon if I keep serving you, maybe I can come back to you. So it's extremely important. So many verses are mentioned within this chapter. Then, near the end of his prayers, then Lord Brahma, he prays that I just want to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan. Because this is what this pastime represents, giving up Aishwarya, developing Madhurya. So he thinks if I become a blade of grass, the devotees in Vrindavan, the gopis, they will trample on my head, and by the dust of their lotus feet, I will also develop the mentality of a Brijbasi and love Krishna very spontaneously and very naturally. So he prays like that. And then Krishna says, okay, maybe you should leave now. He actually says to Krishna himself, I think maybe I should go, and Krishna doesn't say anything. Silence means agreement. So then Brahma, he leaves and he goes back to his position to fulfill his responsibilities and purify himself. Then Krishna goes back, and all the cowherd boys have been sitting there for 1 year, which goes by in like a moment, and they haven't eaten anything because they won't take anything while Krishna's not there. The next chapter is called Killing of the Astim and Danukasura. So what does that Astim, and what does he represent? Yeah, that's it. Basically, we'll analyze it as ignorance of the soul. So it is significant because in the beginning of the chapter, Krishna and Balaram are walking into the Vrindavan forest, and Krishna is glorifying Balaram. But Prabhupada points out actually Krishna is glorifying himself. But Prabhupada says it's not appropriate to glorify yourself. You can't walk around saying, I did this and I did that. So he glorifies Balaram. He's saying all the trees are bowing down to you. Actually saying all the trees are bowing down to me because I am Krishna, even more powerful than you. But still, he's saying like that. So then the cowherd boys, out of pure devotion, they say to Krishna and Balaram, there's a nice forest not far from here. The breeze is coming. We can smell beautiful tal fruits, but no one can go there. We want to eat those fruits. So what they're actually saying is, I think it'd be good of you to eat these fruits. They want to offer the fruits to Krishna and Balaram. But they know if they say, why don't you two go to have the fruits? Krishna will not be so interested. But they say, we want to eat it, then Krishna will reciprocate. This is how intimate their love is. They understand Krishna's mind so intimately. They say, if we want to eat the fruits, then that will make him go and go to the forest. So they say like that. But actually, it's completely the opposite. They just want to offer the fruits to Krishna. They don't want to eat themselves. That's how advanced their, exalted their love for Krishna is. So then they head into the forest. And then they get attacked by this demon. Now Balaram kills him. Two demons are killed by Balaram. One is in a couple of chapters. His name is Pralamba. And one is Danuka. And interesting, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, the devotee, Krishna will remove all those other anattas we've discussed so far, but the devotee has to get rid of these two anattas. What Pralamba represents, what Danuka represents. What does Danuka represent? Basic ignorance, the bodily concept of life. You have to get rid of that yourself. Give up your attachment to your body. Otherwise you stay in the material world. So we have to do that.
Yeah. So, Krishna at this point in time, they killed Danukasura. Krishna enters the Pauganda Leela, which means he gets older now. He starts taking the cows out. And this is the first time in this chapter where we see the gopis. Means that those in Madhurya, but not the older gopis, but his eternal associates, Radha and the others, they begin to manifest in this chapter. The gopis, when he comes back, they see him and they become fixed on him. And then the conjugal rust begins, which is going to lead into the next few chapters where Krishna's pastimes with the gopis are manifest. Chapter 21, Krishna's pastimes with the devoted. The gopis hear the song of Krishna's flute, the Venu Gita. So all these pastimes are beginning, the intimate part of these pastimes. And this is leading up to chapters 29 to 33. Because the 10th canto represents Krishna's face, and chapters 29 to 33 are the most intimate part of the Bhagavatam because they represent Krishna's smile, which is the most beautiful part of the face, the anatomy.
So then chapter 16 is called?
He chastises Kaliya. So we studied that the last couple of weeks, last week, this week. What does Kaliya represent? Cruelty to others. Sometimes we're very cruel to others. Have you ever been like that? Sometimes you're not very nice to other people, your children, your husband, your wife, your family members. Not very nice.
I remember when I was a little boy, I was sitting with my brother, and I got the pencil, like the grey lead pencil, and I stuck it into his leg. And my dad came in, and he saw I just stuck it, you know, no good reason, just stuck in his leg. And my dad said, "Would you do that to me?" I said, "No." "Would you do that to your mum?" "No." "Would you do it to your other brother?" "No." "Why'd you do it to this brother?" And I just burst into tears. A very good way of teaching, actually. And I still remember, even now. And then, "Why did you do it to him?" "No, it's just cruelty. It's a consciousness we have in the material world. Sometimes you just like to be nasty to others." So as long as you have that consciousness, you can't go back to Krishna. So Kaliya has that consciousness. The snake just like likes to bite you for no reason.
So Krishna, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, he had a desire to do dancing on the hoods of Kaliya, because he knew Kaliya was living in the river. And he thought, "I want to attract the gopis, because soon I will dance with them. And if I dance on his hoods, it'd be a very nice platform to dance upon, a stage. Because the hoods are going up and down, and I can dance very beautifully. And it all moves. Very wonderful. Maybe one day we'll see Krishna dancing on Kaliya's hoods." So Krishna had this desire. So he went there and he just enjoyed himself. But Kaliya was feeling like thunderbolts were smashing his head. So then, when he was beaten into submission, then the Nagapatnis, his wives, offered prayers. And then Kaliya also offered prayers. Sri Krishna Chandra Bhagwan Ki. So next Monday we'll have class. We'll continue with chapter 17. And then Tuesday, 7 o'clock, next Tuesday, then we'll have the exam here in the theatre. 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock. So everyone needs to keep up with your fees. I'm sick of saying this. Right? It's not a joke. The fees need to be regular. I've explained it to you already and you still don't give them. Sri Chaitanya gives every week. Huh? Do you ever miss a week, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu? Why don't you ever miss a week? Please explain to the rest of the group why you never miss a week. Why do you always give your fees every week? You don't know. Very good answer. Okay, that's not the answer I was looking for. Because I asked him to. Huh? That's his good quality. Whatever we ask, he just does it. And the rest of you, I'm asking you now, do it. Please do it. Out of respect. I've already explained to you the situation. If you do that, it just makes the course run smoothly like that. So please, out of respect, please do that. Srila Prabhupada Ki.